We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, God reminds us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We take some moments now to confess our sins to the Lord, first in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins together as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry.
And whoever
believes in me will never be thirsty. For he satisfies the thirsty. Fills the hungry with good things. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear.
Is not
life more than food, and the body more than clothes? For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, we are busy and anxious about many things which distract us from listening to you and your word. Open our ears and our hearts to listen to your teaching. And help us to choose that which cannot be taken from us, our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood.
We conclude our series on eating with Jesus today with the account of Mary and Martha. We are reminded that there is more than physical food that God offers to sustain us. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit who dwells richly in our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Today, as you have heard, is our last in our sermon series, Eating with Jesus. Next week, we'll start a new sermon series, Following Jesus. Today, we finish the series up with that wonderful meal between close-knit friends, Jesus, Mary, and Martha, where Jesus helps us understand that there are things more important than food. We discovered today the nature of hospitality, the problem with distractions, even those that are well-intentioned, and then how, of course, we can prioritize and keep the main thing the main thing. Let's talk first about hospitality and the importance of hospitality. What is hospitality? Well, let me make a comparison here between a modern definition and a more biblical definition of that. So a modern definition of hospitality is the activity or business of providing services to guests in hotels, restaurants, and bars. We get that, right? That's our modern world. And a more biblical model, a more traditional model is this: the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, and strangers. And I go back for us to the classic model of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. You may be familiar with the story where there are three men who come to visit Abraham. Now, you and I know today that those three men were messengers from God. At the time, Abraham didn't know that. Yet, listen how he welcomes them into his presence. The first thing he offers is water. Water to wash their feet. Now, they weren't wearing Justin Ropers, okay? They had sandals in those days. And so they're walking everywhere. They get dust and dirt and every other things on their feet. They're dirty. And so the first thing that anybody would do toward hospitality is offer water to wash your feet. That was the ultimate form of service, to wash another person's feet. Of course, we've got that model from Jesus himself in John 13, where he washes the disciples' feet. What a great model that is for us as we think about that. Abraham also offers them shade while he goes and fetches some bread. Those were the basic forms of hospitality: water, bread, shade. But now if you read on there in Genesis 18, you discover that Abraham went far above and beyond. He rolled out the red carpet for these three men. He ran to Sarah, his wife, and said, Sarah, prepare three fresh loaves or cakes of bread for these visitors. We want fresh bread, not the day-old stuff, right? He goes into his herd, finds a choice, tender young calf, and tells his servant to prepare that. And while that's all going on, he gets curds and milk and presents them with the calf and the bread before these three men. Again, he went above and beyond what was expected. And this then became the standard for hospitality for generations to come. Now, most of us today, we have our circle of acquaintances and friends, neighbors, classmates, colleagues. And we oftentimes travel within those circles. That's the place that we're most comfortable, within those circles of friends and family, etc., where we find a sense of belonging. If we were to step beyond those boundaries, we start to get out of our comfort zone. And it makes us a bit anxious and fearful. You see, because within those circles, we know what to expect, right? We know how to read each other's words and gestures and body language. When we step outside of those groups, again, we feel more unsure, even insecure about ourselves and the people that we encounter. There's different signals that we have to figure out, things that we have to interpret correctly, and it makes us feel very uneasy. But then we hear the gospel calling us to reach out in love and compassion and grace to all sorts of people who are not like us. This is where we find those commands to extend hospitality to the stranger or the sojourner, to love our enemies, to welcome one and all into our lives as Christ has welcomed us. And so the gospel becomes a challenge because it calls for a degree of discomfort, of uncertainty, of stepping into uncharted territory. And yet, it has its roots all the way back with Abraham to welcome the sojourner and the stranger and to treat them with the same kind of kindness and respect and care and honor that we want to be treated with ourselves. I love the quote from Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. It's exactly what Abraham did. And you never know whom we may encounter in our daily walk of faith. And we get back to our text today. While Martha encounters Jesus, who's entered her village, he's not a stranger to her, okay? He's someone that she's already familiar with. In fact, she's very familiar with him. She invites him into her home with the thought of this unreasonable, outlandish hospitality. She's going to go even farther than Abraham went, okay? She knows how special he is. And she's intent on providing Jesus with this lavish feast. Now, there's nothing at all wrong with hospitality and even serving others and going out of your way to do so. I mean, there's biblical mandates for that. So doing that is not out of the ordinary. The problem we encounter with Martha is not her serving, not her hospitality, but with the distractions that get in her way of spending quality time with Jesus. Let's focus on serving for a moment, because God inspires us. God even commands us throughout Scripture to serve and love one another, part of our Christian calling and duty. Here's a couple of reminders in Scripture. First of all, Proverbs 11:25, a generous person, it says, will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So you see the service in that. We serve others, we also receive something in return. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So as God has given to us, we share with others out of that abundance. And from Acts 20:35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus himself, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those are just a few of the many places and verses that we find that remind us that everything we have, first of all, is from God, and that we're not to be greedy, to hoard those kinds of things, but to share out of the abundance, of the lavishness with which God has poured out upon us to reach out in care and concern for others. And truthfully, we get so much more in return when we give and serve and share. We experience that joy of giving and the impact that it has on other people's lives. Again, there's nothing in this text that says we shouldn't serve others. That's not the point of the text. Martha's problem, again, is that she got so caught up in her serving that she neglected Jesus even as she was trying to serve him. It became more about her and less about him. One of the great difficulties of life is so often we want to be kind to people, we really do, but we want to be kind to them in our own way. And should it happen that our way is not the right way or the necessary way, then we take offense. And we think that we are not appreciated. We've all been there, right? Well, Jesus wasn't asking for a lavish meal here. In fact, one of the commentaries suggested that Jesus came to find a bit of respite with Mary and Martha, to get away from the crowds that were always clamoring to be around him and have a piece of him. You see, he wasn't looking for roast beef and mashed potatoes and green beans and a lemon meringue pie for dessert. All he wanted was a grilled cheese sandwich, okay? He came not to be fed, but to feed. And here's that word, verse 40, from the Greek, perispato, which means distracted. Martha was distracted, it says, with much serving. Again, if we go back to that biblical definition of hospitality, it covers both providing for and entertaining a guest or a stranger or a sojourner. And Jesus doesn't chide her for serving elaborately, but for allowing her mind to be distracted, to be drawn away to the things that for the moment were unimportant. See, she parked herself in the kitchen, and she was so caught up in the preparation that she didn't spend time visiting with this so important guest. We see how far she took this, even to the point of coming out and confronting Jesus, entreating him to scold Mary for not coming to her aid in helping prepare this lavish meal. In her book, The Practical Guide to Prayer, Dorothy Haskins tells about a noted concert violinist. The violinist was asked the secret to her success. This is what she said. She said, "There are many things that used to demand my time. When I went to my room after breakfast, I would make my bed, straighten the room, dust, and did whatever was necessary. When I'd finished my work, then I turned to my violin practice. But that system," she said, "prevented me from accomplishing what I should do with the violin. So I reversed things," she said. "I deliberately planned to neglect everything else until my practice of the violin was complete." She said, "That was what led to the secret of my success." You see, it's all about setting priorities and putting things in the proper perspective. It's about keeping the main thing the main thing. You see, Mary had it right. As soon as Jesus entered the house, what did she do? She sat at his feet like a willing student, drinking in every word that Jesus said and taught. Again, in this case, Jesus came to feed and not be fed. It's similar to Jesus' encounter in John 4 with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. To remember the story, it's a beautiful encounter. Jesus had sent the disciples into town to get some food. They'd been traveling. They were famished. He stayed outside of town at the well. And this woman came at noon to draw water. And Jesus asked her to draw him some water. Of course, in that encounter, he says, "I offer you living water, water that will quench your soul." And it transformed her life. And when the disciples returned with food, they encouraged Jesus to eat. Here's what he says in reply: "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Of course, they scratched their heads on that one. But what Jesus meant was he was being fed and nourished on God's word, on his actions in serving this woman and impacting her life. And yeah, we all need physical food and drink. That's a part of what it is to be a human being. But God offers so much more that we need to fill an even greater hunger and thirst that will nourish our souls. Again, it's so easy for us to get our priorities in the wrong place. There's many things in this life that distract us. And I think that's where the devil does his best work, to distract us with many things. Things that aren't bad in and of themselves necessarily, but things which gradually turn us away from God. How many of you remember the old movie, Chariots of Fire? Couple of hands, yeah. Go back to 1981, that's when that came out. If you haven't seen it, go and look it up. It's a great, wholesome movie. Well, the movie is about a couple of runners, one in particular, Harold Abrams. And he'd won so many races here and there. This was the Olympic times. His coach held, it's a true story, by the way, actually. His coach held up his great discipline, but he finally lost one of those races, an important race, because he looked to the side. Just as he was about to finish the race, he looked to see where his competitor was. His coach later said, "That look cost you the race." He was not single-minded on the finish and on the prize that lay ahead. Well, we have tremendous encouragement in the words from Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to this. "Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." There it is. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So keep your eyes on Jesus, and don't grow weary and lose heart. Again, there's nothing at all wrong with serving the Lord and our fellow man, as long as we do that within the confines of serving God and doing it in the name of Jesus, and not get distracted and anxious like Martha did when she took her eye off the prize. Maybe be more like Mary, who chose the good portion, being fed and nurtured in the Word of God, which will not be taken from us. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you again for sending your Son to feed us, to nourish us in our faith. Yes, we have the physical hunger and thirst every day, but Lord, there's something so much more important: to be fed and nourished in your word, in your presence in our lives, that we might be strengthened in our faith for the journey ahead. For it's long and hard, the road is narrow, and yet we know that you are there for us to strengthen and guide us along the way. So help us that we may encourage and strengthen others along the journey as well. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's join together in the offering prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you please join me in prayer? Lord God, we praise you and we thank you that you call us to serve and you call us to sit at your feet and to do that first, so that our service may be full of your love, your kindness, your compassion, and that our service will be done through the power and work of your Holy Spirit. Help us to not be so distracted in our serving or in anything else that we neglect to put you and your word first and foremost in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the gift of life. We give you thanks for the gift of every breath. We thank you for your call to serve that's on our lives. We thank you for all of those who have served in so many ways down in Kirk County, but also throughout the Hill Country, to help those in need. And we ask that you would watch over those who have lost so much, that you bring comfort and strength to those who have lost loved ones, those who are grieving in the loss of other things in their life, including precious memories from their homes or their homes themselves. Lord, help us to reach out in love and help us to serve all in need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for peace in this troubled world. Where there is bloodshed and conflict, we pray for healing, for peace. Peace in the Middle East, peace in Ukraine, peace on the continent of Africa and Southeast Asia. Peace between nations, peace between communities, peace within our own families. Bring healing to marriages, healing to friendships. And Lord, help us to heed and hear your word and to love as you have loved. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we lift up those who are grieving, and we ask a special blessing on the family and friends of Randy Lifesty. Watch over them as they gather to celebrate his life, but most of all to celebrate your goodness. And we pray for those who are hospitalized, including Lillian Feller and Caden Lopez, for those who have undergone surgery or waiting for surgeries or other procedures. Bless them and give them strength. We also ask that you'd watch over those in hospice care, including Dottie Schneider, Leroy Young, and Stanley Feller. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we are grateful for our young people who have returned from camp, but now another group yet that is heading out to camp this afternoon. Bless them in that journey. Keep them safe. And also, Lord, help them to experience your presence in a new and different way, that joyful time when they are together and singing and celebrating you and your goodness. Lord, in your mercy. Now into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now, children of God, as you go on your way, may God go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We join together in our concluding song.